This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Okay, so we have a quarter of an hour for questions. So where are we going to start? A bit like an auctioneer, I can say I've got one on the telephone here, but do we have anyone from down below to begin? Yeah, is the microphone around? Yeah. Thanks very much.
Paul Hampson from University of Westminster. Gary, it's interesting you mentioned about maturity as one of the key skills that our employers are looking for, given the fact that we actually know in some sectors maturity doesn't count for nothing. If you look at the financial sector, you know, it's deemed that some people over the age of 30 are not cut out for that particular job. How would you sort of address that? How would you advise people on that?
I suppose when I'm talking about maturity, I'm not just meaning maturity in terms of age, obviously. It was more around the attitude that a candidate brings to the graduate programme. And yes, it will differ from sector to sector. The recruiters that I speak to, when I was a recruiter myself, I was looking for a whole group of skills, of which your academic qualifications were one, but the attitude that you brought to the workplace was another. So the way that you interact with people, the way that you would talk to a customer, for example, which in my business was particularly important, those were the kind of things which we were looking for during a selection process. And someone who perhaps had a little bit longer to develop some of those skills, either through postgraduate work or indeed through work experience as part of their undergraduate degree, those skills would often come across very strongly to us as a recruiter and be very attractive in terms of the candidates that we would look at.
Anyone? Yeah? Just say who you are as well.
Paul McDermott, London Metropolitan University. In the presentation concerning the widening participation agenda at postgraduate level, there was discussion in the presentation about latent demand. And I just wonder whether Paul has any insights on how to discover what that latent demand was and how we understand it better.
Paul, did you hear that?
Hi, yes. It's the League of Pauls, it seems. Okay, it's quite difficult, actually. I mean, I think that there is a group that we can investigate for latent demand, and that is finalists. So that is people who are at the moment completing or have recently completed a degree. So, and it would be, I guess, you know, the method there would be to survey them. Beyond that, it is actually quite difficult because the potential population for postgraduate studies is really quite diffuse, and they aren't in a particular place. So final year graduates, we know where they are. We can go and find them, we could talk to them, we can ask them about their plans for postgraduate study. But yes, I would acknowledge that after that, and actually most of our postgraduate students have taken a break and gone away and done something else, it's a really diffuse population to try and kind of nail down to find out a bit more about that demand. That doesn't mean to say it's not worth trying. And I think that is a problem that we have at the moment. We just don't know what that latent demand is. Are we getting all the people who could possibly ever want to do postgraduate study, or is it just 10% of them that end up actually registering?
Okay, thanks for that. Jeremy Phillips has asked the question of David. If I can just give you a minute to think of your next questions. In the light of the need for leadership and learning to learn skills in postgraduates, do you see a market for courses that focus on such activity?
I think, in a way, talking to both, you know, all parties in here, it'd be better if it was embedded in the courses. Yeah. I think if it sits alongside, it just becomes another. It's almost like the Roberts money got sat alongside and didn't permeate the course. I think it should be part and parcel of how you are educated. Or how you learn yourself, actually. You've got to learn to be a leader and learn how to learn. But I'm very uncomfortable with... I like the idea of early career development or early professional development. Yeah. Something that's embedded. It's almost day one, year one in undergraduate education and just evolves as you go through it. But I'm always very uncomfortable with things sitting alongside rather than being part and parcel. Yeah. I think businesses, actually.
Yeah, can I add a point to that?
Yeah.
I think that's also something which, from our point of view, we hear recruiters talking about, that students don't necessarily realise they've learned some of those skills. And I had this when I was a recruiter. I would often read an application form from a potential candidate spot a few things on the form which kind of drew enough interest to bring that person in for an interview. When you actually met them and started talking to them and started to tease out some of the experience that they had, they actually had a lot more than they realised. And one of those skills was often this learning to learn, this idea of being able to take responsibility for your own educational journey and think on your feet and react to situations. And perhaps part of the battle is helping students both at undergraduate and postgraduate level to realise how important that is, to reflect on what they've done that's helped them to gain those skills, and then to think about how to articulate that.
And if you could kind of mark UK institutions on a scale of 0 to 10, where would you think we are on that, on putting together courses that reflect that sort of thing rather than specific courses?
I'd quite like to go out alive, frankly. I don't know, it's different. I mean, it's you know, I've now visited 40 universities in 16, 17 months. I think it's just, it varies by institution, by unit within institution. I think some people have really embraced it. I think for others, as I said earlier, you know, if I'd carried on teaching social philosophy, would I say it's my job to teach someone to be a leader? I'm not sure I would. So I think it does vary very much by course. I think I do think the penny's dropping. If you talk to employers who employ engineers, I think that the eng doc has gone down a storm, you know, that it's actually all the different things are embedded. I do think that the creative and digital industries will really respond well to the people coming out of DTCs, because, again, the whole thing's embedded. So, you know, I'm not going to rate the sector 1 to 10, but I think the sector has to rate itself. I mean, I think it's a different thing. I mean, benchmarking yourself against some of these critical things for graduates and postgraduates will be, I think, a very important part of how you develop your brand going forward in a post-brand world.
And I think employers recognise they've got a part to play in that as
well. Yeah, they do.
Certainly in my background in the IT sector, we were heavily involved with a degree called ITMB, Information Technology Management for Business, which was run by eSkills UK. But there was a lot of employer involvement, both in designing the degree in the first place and then in helping with the delivery at the various universities that ran it. And that's a great degree because it gives, for technology students, it gives them not just the technical skills, but also some of the softer skills that are going to be so valuable in business. So employers need to get involved in those kind of initiatives. Yeah.
Well, you know what's great about the ITMB? You're guaranteed a job interview.
Yeah.
And which is fantastic. You know, so the employer has to engage because at the other end of the process, someone's going to be sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
And you've committed to that person having a, you know, great thing. If we could get them guaranteed a job, that'd be different. But that, I think, is a very important part and parcel of how we can get employers to engage more effectively in all this.
I mean, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot, but it does seem to me that you can achieve a lot of the things you've been talking about through the way in which you do the teaching.
Yeah, I agree.
And I come from a built environment background where most of the work we did when I was teaching formally was in projects.
Yeah.
And there was always a project leader. And you kind of got through that problem of leadership by the pedagogy rather than by teaching what leadership's all about.
I
just wonder whether some of the newer institutional approaches to postgrad are actually adopting those sorts of approaches to learning rather than the straight didactic of a lecture room.
Well, I think you're right about that, by the way. But I also see that the vast range of different ways of accrediting this stuff. I mean, all the way out from Newcastle trying to accredit every single course to other people doing, you know, they'll teach it, but you won't get it part of your credit bearing load. And then others just won't teach it at all or won't engage with it as a way of learning.
Yeah.
And I think that there's obviously a debate within the sector is itself an interesting one about how you do these things. I mean, you know, we wouldn't sit here and pretend to tell you guys how you bring these people forward. We just have to give you the voice of the people who are employing them at the other end.
Well, I think we need a nudge occasionally. More than a nudge at times. Okay, do we have another question? Yes. Sorry, the mic needs to be down here. Sorry about that. You can't see the hand going up, unfortunately.
Hello, Sarah Hainsworth, University of Leicester. I just got a question for David, which, with his philosophy background, I think might be ideal. How are you defining leadership here? Are you talking about management, interpersonal skills, or are you talking about the people with the strategic vision to become the managing director? Because clearly businesses need some of the people with the leadership and the strategic vision, but they clearly need many more of the people with the management skills to take forward the team management and the delivery of the day-to-day business?
It's a very, very, very good question. I think that when Jeremy Darrow talks about leadership, he means every single person in his business. You know, he thinks that if Beast Guy Beast starts to fall apart, he needs to be having it rebuilt by the people out at the edges of the business rather than at the centre. So I think the concept that we take ownership of the business's problems is what's going on here. Now, you could say that there's understanding leadership, you know, which is how you, the many dimensions of leadership, but that there's definitely that sense of taking ownership is to be a leader. I would say that. I think that's what they're trying to get at. So it's not that they're not drawing a distinction between, as it were, Weberian charismatic leadership and bureaucratic leadership. That's not what's going on. It's a more diffuse set of, you walk in the door and you go, right, it's my job to fix this, or my job to be part of fixing this is what's going on. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think you're right. You only want one chief exec. So if you're recruiting all of your graduates with the potential to be the next chief exec, then you're going to have a lot of disappointed graduates in a few years' time. But as you say, you need leaders at many different levels, but you also want graduates who are sort of very... they're able to operate on their own initiative, and some of the skills that maybe they would have used as a leader will also help them to work in different types of environments and to work on their own initiative. But I think certainly the recruiters that I speak to are nervous about placing too much emphasis on a graduate scheme that recruits the leaders of tomorrow, because they're not all going to be the leaders of tomorrow.
No, it's different for having leadership skills, though.
Right.
From being the it's not the chief executives of tomorrow, it's the business. You know, when I employ people, it's because I want them to take responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, and that is to take leadership.
Seems we need to be a bit careful about what we mean. It isn't the guy who's going to...
No, it's not. I mean, when you... What's one of the things I said in the speech? One of the things I said was, we've got to challenge business to be clearer about what they want. Because a lot of words get chucked around, like STEM and leadership, and getting under the... That's why we're going to try and do this Learn to Learn project. You know, what do you actually mean by that? Let's get down underneath the skin of it properly. And so your challenge is quite correct. I'm just trying to articulate what I think they mean. But we have to get beyond what they think they mean to actually try and unpack what they mean. Because if you're then trying to encapsulate it back into degrees and so on. But I would say that at any level, taking responsibility for your own skills is part of leadership.